You're listening to The Magnificence of the Three with Jason and Time Out, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Magnificence of the Three. My name is Jason Ford. Welcome to the podcast where we level up with confidence, not religion. I am here with my brother from another mother, Time Out. Time Out's going to lead us out in a prayer to get started.
Hello, my name is Fa'apale Aloese Taumua. I go by my pen name of Time Out. I am from the island of Samoa, so all of you know that this is part of our culture and traditions. Is you start everything with a prayer and end with a prayer. So let's say a short one to bless our first radio show with. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for adding another day to our lives. Thank you for the opportunity to bring us here to bring out your word to the community. Let them know who you are, where you come from, and how you ended up here in our lives. Thank you again for all the blessings given our families. Thank you for the blessings given this nation. We ask for your blessings for this radio show, that it be fruitful for the community, that it will help somebody, bring them closer to you, and lead them in their life to be a contributor to the community. Thank you again for all the blessings given us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Time out. You nervous, buddy?
I am.
Don't be nervous, man. You know how many people are watching right now? Like 16. Like it's probably just our friends and family, man. It's going to be a great show. Hopefully a long-running show.
I know.
So let's go ahead and let's kick it off. Let's talk a little bit about what this is going to be about. And this is not about religion. This is about leveling up in consciousness. We're obviously going through a significant shift in this world in consciousness. We saw the world yesterday and what happened here in the States, so we're not going to focus on that. But one thing that gave me hope this morning was, it was fairly an emotional moment. I went down to, I go to a church down in San Clemente, which is in between LA and San Diego, and it's a real cool church where it's just kickback, people showing up, surfers and sandals and things. And, you know, I was like, I didn't know what to expect. It's a fairly conservative community. People there are fairly affluent, but it's also kickback. And I thought, oh man, here we go. We're going to have with the attempt on Trump yesterday, it's going to be a bunch of blame game. We're going to have politics being talked at church, and it wasn't like that at all, which was awesome.
Right.
I was telling you on the way up here, I'm sitting around going, oh God. And the guy gets up there. He's an elder, and you can tell he's emotionally distraught about the whole situation. And he's like, starts out about what happened yesterday, and. You know, the first thing he did, Time Out, he started praying for the shooter, man. It was, and you could tell the church was just like, yes. You could hear people saying, like, yes, this poor young soul, you know, let's help him out. And that was so refreshing because I was like, is that not a great way to start our show off, which is exactly why we're here. We want to put an end to the separation, the fear, the anger that's been out in this world for millennia and start focusing on integration, on love. And unfortunately, religion has done a lot of separation, and that's what we're going to talk about. Time Out, I'm going to talk more about your book, but you're six awards on this book, Scientific Proof of God. It's called The Magnificence of the Three. We all know the Magnificence of the Three came from, well, not all of us, but Nikola Tesla. So what about Nikola Tesla? What was his quote about 3, 6, and 9?
The quote goes if you knew the magnificence of the 3, 6, and 9, you would have the key to the universe. So this book, I'm making a claim that I think I know what Tesla was talking about the 3. I don't know what a 6 and 9 is, but I know what a 3 is. And that 3, which is the character in the book, is the atom, it's 3 particles. That's what Tesla was talking about. So this whole book has 3 characters. It's God the Creator, the atom, which is the tool that the material that God used in creating the heavens and earth, and emotions, the helper that God created to facilitate our survival here on earth. So that's a little bit about that book, about the title of the book, but that's where it came from.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is, first of all, this particular episode, we're going to focus a little bit more. This isn't about us, but the backstory is important. And I think the backstory is important because it just goes to show that our infinite creator. This is all perfectly orchestrated. There are no coincidences in this world. At least that's my perception of things. And I think Time Out would agree. When you hear our story about how we got together, we couldn't believe the other night. We've only known each other since, what was it, I think May 29th of this year is when we met. And I've been doing some Uber driving, Lyft driving, private driving. So I pick up a lot of interesting people. But the crazy thing about picking up Time Out is I'm sitting there taking a break, and I thought I actually took the actual Uber app off so I didn't have to take any rides. And I'm catching up on some emails and some texts and things, and I go down to shoot a text to somebody, and an Uber ride comes in, and bam, I hit it. And I could have canceled it, but something told me, no, just take it, man, just for whatever reason. Maybe you're supposed to pick this person up. So it was like a 7-10 minute ride at the most. And I happened to write a book as well, and the Prodigal Warrior. And so what I did is I put it on the back seat of the passenger seat, so that it's a great conversation starter because I wrote it to help people. It's basically, I'll get into my story in a moment. But I think I was asking you, if you'd been working as the security guard for a while, and you're like, oh no, man, I had to quit my other job, and because I was focusing on writing a book. And I was like, dude, I wrote a book, and you're like, what? You do? You know? I'm like, yeah, it's right there in front of you. So we start chatting, and within that, 10-minute ride at the most, we just connected, and we truly both believe. We talk a lot. We've been hanging out the last only 6 weeks, which is crazy, but this was meant to be, and we're out to help people with this material, and I think you'll find that his material is extremely compelling, and his story is outrageous as far as how far he's come, and he'll get into that. And I want you to look at this, though, as I'm going to be a neutral party here, okay? I'm going to be the neutron of the atom. I'm going to be the neutral party. I'll be asking questions. My background is I was a public speaker for 20 years for a corporation. I did a lot of webcasts, a lot of interviews like this. And it's the worst thing ever is when the interviewer is talking over you. So I'm going to let you kind of expand on it. But I'll tell you a little bit about my story, because even though both of us have totally unique, different backgrounds, different stories, we all... I think Time Out, I don't know if you agree with this too, but we talk about, like, we feel like we know each other, man. We feel like we've known each other for a long time. Right. And it's an awesome dynamic to have. So my particular story, the reason I mentioned I wrote a book is, the reason I wanted to write the book is I was kind of the poster boy for, you can have everything in this material world and have a total void on the inside. And I was, I went from, playing professional baseball in the Rockies organization, not in the big leagues, in the minor leagues. But for me, that was a big accomplishment. I grew up playing sports, all three sports. I got good grades, great family atmosphere. There was no reason for me to, at least on paper, have any sort of a void where I was struggling inside. And, growing up playing, three sports, getting good grades, I never felt like I fit in, though. You hear that a lot. It's like, yeah, oh, I don't feel right. Like I fit into this place. Well, none of us do, it doesn't seem like. But I remember being like 7 or 8 years old, and I was at my babysitter's house, and I'm going down to take a nap, and I'm sitting there thinking about things like, what if there was just nothing? Like, what would nothing look like? And I'm just picturing, like, skulls and bones and darkness. And I remember thinking to myself, I think I'm kind of a weirdo. Like, who's thinking about this stuff, right? And so it kind of transpired into playing that game, playing that character where you feel like you have to be in control of this life. At least that's right. What I thought. I didn't let anything unfold. It was like, oh, no, you have to do X, Y, and Z to meet your goals. And I'm not saying goals aren't good, but I always felt like I had to be in control of everything. I was the one, right? The ego. I'm the one that has to make this happen. And so I struggled a lot, but at the same time was successful. I was successful on the outside, right? So I go into corporate finance, and I, work as, like I said, public speaker, trading consultant for clients. I enjoyed the job, but still just struggling internally. And finally, like alcohol always does, I functioned a long time as a social drinker. And I was a good time guy drinker, right? Kind of go out and party. And once again, had a good time. Nothing was ever seemed to be wrong with it. But deep down, I kind of knew, I think this is going in the wrong direction real quick. And it creeps up on you so hard that you're blindsided. And you've procrastinated so long because it's part of not only your identity, especially when you work in like a sales organization where everybody's going out. They want to go out to happy hour. They want to, it's entertainment, right? So you almost get looked at weird if you're not out drinking with them. It's like, what's your deal? How come you're not having a cocktail with us? So it took about mid-40s, and I just went down hard, like never thought I would be there in a million years. And when I went through that darkness, What was crazy is you kind of had a similar experience. And I talk about this in one chapter in the book, but I didn't really feel comfortable bringing it up to a lot of people because, once again, fear of the unknown, right? They're going to start calling you crazy.
It's your facts. You know?
That's the thing. It's my experience, but it's not the experience that I had that I want to focus on, but it was crazy that you had a similar, and we both called it the same thing. It was a download. And that's exactly the way I titled that chapter, The Download. And so without getting too much into the experience, what would have happened is I had gone through this life of having, the perception of all this success, the yacht at the harbor, the family, living down in Southern California at the beach. And when I finally decided, okay, this has got to stop. I've got to stop drinking or I'm going to lose everything, because I was functional until absolutely was not. I was up here, actually not too far from here, from the studio. It was about 15 minutes away here in Thousand Oaks. And I had this incessant thought one night. I was up there. I was getting ready to do a couple workshops the next day at one of our offices. And they were important workshops. There's going to be 40, 50 people showing up. So I can't just go canceling these things. But I had this incessant thought. It's like, nope, you're going down to the beach tomorrow. It wasn't a voice. It was just this thought. You're going down to the beach back home in Dana Point, and you're going to experience something. You know what it was? I thought it was going crazy. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, I can't cancel this stuff. But 3 a.m. rolls around, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., hadn't slept all night. Finally, I go, you know what? I'm packing up. I'm going to follow my gut for the first time in a long time, and I'm just going to go see what this is all about. So I drove back that morning to Dana Point. I waited around all day long until about 10:30 at night and went down. I literally lived right across from the beach, and I walked down to Strands Beach, and I sat there like, okay, I don't know what I'm waiting for, but let's go. And sure enough, about 5 minutes in, I had this experience where it involved this, a light materializing in the sky, and I thought, oh my God, this is actually happening. And this overwhelming sense of peace came on, and you explained the same thing. So I'm interested to hear your story again because I've only heard it once. But this overwhelming sense of peace and well-being, and people always ask, well, what did you, what was the message? And the overall message for me, if you could sum it up, was, you're infinite. This is a temporary physical experience, and you're taking it way too serious. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that pretty much drills it. But I had no religion growing up, no spirituality. So I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. And it was literally, my whole perception on the world changed in almost an instant. The weird thing was, is I thought it was like 5 minutes. And when I looked down, it was like an hour and a half had gone by. So it was just crazy missing time. But it took me, I didn't instantly get better at that point. In fact, it threw me more down a rabbit hole because I thought, okay, well, now I'm officially crazy. Like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm not going to be able to function in society because I see everything totally different now. And there was a solid 4 or 5 years where what it did is it just took me, synchronistically. We'll do an episode just strictly on synchronicity later on down the line after we get done talking with the book, which is going to spiderweb into all these different categories of topics. But it would lead me to, looking at consciousness, looking at how our thoughts create reality, how we're co-creators and one of the infinite intelligence, God creator. And I'm like, for somebody that didn't grow up with any of this, there's got to be something to it. In fact, I'm convinced that there is a God because I believe in a God now. I know there's a God. That was the other thing. It was a knowing. It wasn't a believing. So I think we all have that deep within us. And I want to set expectations as I talk about that experience. We are not here to push any agenda, a belief system. We're simply here to present. And the way I like your book, Time Out, is you do claims. You write it just like an attorney would. You lay it out and say, my claim is based on this hard facts and then circumstantial evidence. You even use that term. And that's great because what we see in a lot of religion belief systems is my way or the highway. And people are turned off. They see a bunch of hypocrisy on the back end. And I don't want a part of this. So there is no agenda here except for you to soak in the material and come up with your own truth. So after that, I ended up finally getting better to the point where I was like, all right, I can snap out of this and do something with it. And by writing the book, I went out and didn't think the book would do anything, maybe help some people, and I think it has. In fact, I'm going to leave it at this before I send it over to Time Out here. But here's a good example. Is the other day I was down and I was Uber driving once again, and I pick up on July 4th. I picked up what I consider a friend now. He came in, and he's this gentleman that's a surfer down in Dana Point. And I put the book on the back of the seat there, and he's like, hey, man, it's a great conversation starter for people. So he's like, hey, man, you wrote a book. He's like, oh, I'm going through some tough times, and I'm not sure why. And so we had a conversation. He invited me to lunch, and this was a couple days ago. And so I go to lunch with him, and he's like, "Man, your whole perception is kind of what I was looking for." And I'm not patting myself on the back for this, but this is why it makes me feel good that actually it could help somebody. But I wanted to leave you with this, because this is kind of the whole premise of, I think, of our show too, besides the nature of the book, but the message to everyone is, he's like, "Here, I want you to check out my Facebook." And I don't have Facebook. I don't use it for social media, but I use it for, like, when you send me articles and things. So I took a look at his tagline, and it said at the very top is, like, something to the effect of, "It's not about you. It starts with you and it ends with you, but it's not about you." And I thought, man, isn't that the truth?
That's not.
And he expanded on it. He said, "You know, what I mean is, it's not about you, but it starts with you," meaning take accountability, take responsibility, and follow through on the things you're going to do. But in the end, it's not about you. It's about other people. So that's the perception that this whole world needs to start taking, or we're going to continue spiraling downhill. Okay, so let's turn it over to you, and I want you to talk a little bit about your background, whatever you're comfortable sharing, and then we'll go from there.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, man. I met this guy, 6 weeks ago? It was one of those things he was explaining, because I had the same. I was looking for a cheap affair on Uber, so I've never done click share, but that's exactly what I click share, and he popped up. So it's one of those things that I think, you know, because at that time this happened, I'm trying to figure out, I want to do a podcast, but I don't want to be sitting here, you know, trying to teach you stuff and try to be a preacher and all that stuff. And I know it bores people. But I want somebody just like here to set up, we have a conversation, you know. He can ask questions when I explain, much easier to communicate for me that way. So when he popped up, and then we start, it was like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we start thinking of doing the podcast. So we check out places, and we're like, man, it's a lot of work. And then, you know, and then for some reason, I know this, everybody suspect, but I know this is to be a fact, is that Google doesn't listen to your conversation.
For sure.
Because it was just happened to be like a day later, Sam's LA Talk Radio popped up on Facebook, and it's been there since then. And so we're like, oh, I think we can do this. So this is how we ended up here. Anyways, my background, I grew up in Ireland, Samoa. You know, I came here when I was 20. I had joined the military, and I came here when I was 20. So short summary of my life is I've always been in trouble, one form or another. You know, since I was a kid, I was more trouble. And I got here an alcoholic, and then I fell right into a trap of all the drugs. And within 5 years, I end up in prison. Within 5 years, I end up in prison, and I end up serving a life sentence. So I'm going to, my life, I'm 64 years old, so it's a big life. Because I end up spending 20 years in prison, so I have all kinds of stories. But the story I'm going to tell you is a story, the experience I had that I believe resulted in this book. Because this book should not be written by somebody like me. I don't have the education. I barely finished high school. I have a GED, though. It's good stuff, but, you know, shouldn't be writing a book like this. In this book, so far, I'm not trying to brag to you about the accomplishment, but the claims I'm making here has never been done before. But now we receive 6 awards, and these are awards. This, the book is read and reviewed by Christians. So that's a big step, because the claims have never been done before. So anyways, I ended up in prison when I was 25. So I ended up serving 28 years. So the way the setup is in the California prison system, you come in, they give you a point system. So they assign you a certain amount of points. If you do good, they decrease your points. And then they send you to a lower level prisons. But if you do violate any rules, they file disciplinary against you, and then they hold you there in level 4s or send you other worse prisons in the higher levels. So like I was saying, my whole life is all kinds of trouble. Even in prison, I was in trouble. I ended up spending 21 years there, and in level 4s, the highest levels. And so The conversation level four prison, the highest level. These are all the bad, the worst of the worst in California. Right? A lot of lifers, people turning, you know, serving life sentences are there. So most of our conversations are different. Our conversation, we always, you know, unlike what most people say, you know, the assumptions, but we always hope, let's always hope we get another second chance in life. So all of us have different conversations, you know, we'd be talking about, you know, kind of, if you get another chance, what are you going to do? You know, and then we have business plans. That's what everybody has, business plans, you know. So the conversation was different. So I finally, my points finally dropped down to a lower level. I ended up, they sent me to the lower level 21 years after I went in. I got a level three. Now, this is where most of the non-lifers are at. Kids, young kids, man. You know, I was in level four with killers and murderers. I wasn't really afraid of them. I got down here, level three, man. I was sorely afraid of these people, these kids, man. You can see them, their faces were all jacked up. You know, their story, their conversation, though, was different. These people are like, I was afraid. I was literally afraid of them. You know, I was talking about planning on killing people. The conversation was different. And things they have done that were bad, and they bragging about it. You know, plans of the future is about robbing so and so and so. So I'm thinking to myself, man, all the years I'm stuck here in prison, if I get out, I'm going to be around the same animals. I mean, there's no. And then I started to understand what society has been talking about. They've been talking about us. These kids represent us. He's in a new generation of criminal behavior, you know. So, I was literally afraid. So I'm started thinking to myself, man, if I get out, what am I going to do? Because I can't be around these kids. But the more I look at it, the more I listen, man. You know, I'm starting to. I in a minute there, I say there's a flaw here in the design. You know, if we were created, there was a flaw. There is a flaw in the design of how God designed us. So these kids don't believe in any God. You know, there's no God in their, you know, their environment they grew up, there's nothing like that. So the behavior follows the same pattern, you know, people that don't believe in anything else but themselves, you know, they are their own little God, you know. So then I started making plans. So all these years, when I got out of high school in the islands, the only thing I wanted to do, my dream was to get published. So while I was in prison, I started practicing writing, you know, writing stories that the kids, that people read it and say, man, that stuff is pretty good. It encouraged me. So when I got to this level, the level twos and level one and level threes, that's when I started thinking to myself, you know, I think I want to write a book. But what kind of book? What kind of book are you going to write? My thinking is always the books that I read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, Les Miserables by Victor Hugo. Those two really impressed me. And the reason why, because they affect society. You know, those two books. So those are like I read Ayn Rand, like I read Atlas Shrugged like five times. I still can't finish reading that book. But I start my dream then, my fantasy then, say, if I'm going to do something in my life, it has to be productive. It has to be something to pay back for all the things I've done in society. And the best thing to do is try to write a book about God, but what is it about? So I'm looking around, I'm listening to conversations, I'm reading newspaper, the kids, the young, the world population is turning towards science. They say science got the facts. Religion no more does not provide those facts, that God is not real, the God that they bring is false. So I'm thinking that if God is real, that means there's some science in the Bible that nobody really knows. So my goal then was, if I'm going to write a book, I'm going to find 10 scientific facts that God is real. 10 scientific, easy 10 scientific facts that God is real, that God that the Jews brought to us is real.
So, not to interrupt you there, were you reading different religious texts while you were in there besides all the other books, I'd imagine?
No, you weren't. That's the thing is, all my life I grew up in a Methodist church, but I never really, like, I had a lot of questions about the church, so I hardly go to church in prison either. I wasn't like a Christian religious person while I was in there, so I didn't read a whole lot of texts about any religion either, you know. So I was just reading other books, you know, the normal fiction, nonfiction books, and but that was my that began the dream that ended up with this book. So I finally made the decision that's the book I was going to write. All right, the book, 10 Scientific Facts That God Is Real. So I made the plan, and then like a month later, I went to my parole board. So this is where the experience happened, right? So the night I went, I was planning to go to the parole board, you know, my wife had told me like 2 weeks earlier, hey, you know, make sure you memorize Psalm 23 and say, recite it before you go in the room to your hearing. He says, okay. And the night before the board hearing, he asked me, hey, did you memorize the scripture like I told you? I said, yeah.
Let's keep in mind for the audience, you were still in prison because you had been married this whole time you were incarcerated.
Right.
And so you were talking to her, obviously.
Yeah, to my wife. Yeah. So she goes, well, recite it to me. I said, no, I don't have to recite you anything. I didn't memorize it. That's why. So we got into it. So we hung up the phone. And
got shunned for not knowing your scripture?
Yeah. So I had to memorize it that night. So I went to the hearing. I memorized the Psalm 23 that night. So I went to the hearing. So I was sitting in the room. You know, when you go to the hearing, you go, they put you in the room, prepare, wait for the proclamations to get into the room before they take you in. So I sat in the room. These things here, they are like, you're literally a salesman. You're selling your life. You're selling yourself. So
and how long do you have to do it?
Most hearings are like, there's a hearing that went seven hours.
How long was yours?
The last one was, I think, almost 2 hours.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
So on this hearing, you know, so I sat in the room. I was nervous, you know. It's just like every hearing, you're nervous. You don't know what the outcome is going to be. So I said my prayer. I recited Psalms. So I sat down. I felt calm. I said, oh, I felt better. So the car came. Say, hey, are you ready? Say, yeah, I'm ready. Let's roll. So we walked down. It was only like 10 steps down. So he opened the door. I took my step in the room. Right when I stepped over that door, like everything in my body fell off, like just fell out of my body, like I was dead. That's exactly how I felt, like empty. There was just a whole emptiness. It was just a feeling of peace. I felt peace for the first time in my life. Like it was so peaceful. The spirit was so peaceful. So I stepped in. By the time I moved, I hit the floor, the spirit was done.
So it's instantaneously in and out,
gone. In and out, done. It was done. And I looked up. And I see the parole board guy. I never seen this guy. So all our parole board commissioners, they're all like you bald head, all ex-police chiefs.
What are you saying, man?
Yeah, all these guys, ex-Marine, ex-police. Yeah. So these are the guys that do these things, you know. But I looked up, I see the commissioner. He had long hair, black hair, but he wasn't looking at me. He was looking down, writing. The first thing in my mind, I'm like, man, that guy looks like Jesus.
Dude have like hair down to his shoulder.
He had hair to his shoulder. This image was just off. Like he's not normal because you don't see this in a parole board.
This is that Turkish guy you're talking about.
Yeah, this guy is from Turkey. So the hearing went, and I got blessed with a parole hearing by my buddy. Man, he gave me a release date, and the first thing that came with this experience was the first thing that I felt on the way back. I'm like, I'm no longer afraid of death.
Yes.
I'm no longer afraid of death. I'm not ready to.
I didn't bring it up, but I had mentioned that the thought I got was your infinite being. The fear of death absolutely just was annihilated out of me. And I couldn't understand why. Yeah. But it's that knowing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Like, first thing that came in my mind, I know I'm no longer afraid of death. It was so peaceful, man. That's the first thing that came to mind. This is how it is when you die. There's just nothing, blanked out. No feelings, no emotions, no nothing. you know. So I didn't really like connect the dots until I would start. I had to start speaking about a book, and then I remember this experience, and then it makes sense. What God did here was that He knew what I'm going to be doing. What we're doing right now, the radio, this is not me.
Yeah, it's like when you when I was reading through your book, I was asking you, do you remember like even some of the stuff you wrote down? Because there's parts of my book that I've only read my book once, and when I go back, I'm like, that didn't come from me. Is that and you said the same thing.
Same thing. This is a long. By the time I was done, I was so burned out, I was tired. And then when I got a book, I'm like, man, I wrote this.
I know.
I wrote this. It was like I was just blanked out in a song, right, putting this thing together. Anyways, but that's what made it possible. That experience that day made it possible for us to do this show, because I would not be able to do this. I was never a communication person. For me in prison, sometimes I go days without talking to nobody.
Well, you were in solitary for how long at one time?
Oh, I was in solitary all the time, a few times, but... You know, but just normal everyday association outside in the main line. Sometimes I don't talk to anybody. Even if I have a cellie, they think I'm antisocial, that I don't like them or something.
Yeah.
But that's just not me. I'm not a talkative person, you know. But here I am doing a radio show, and it's from this experience. Now I'm going back and remind me that God said, you have no fears. You're no longer fear. He removed fear from you, fear of death.
Isn't it crazy how you look back in retrospect and you see like things that you're going through at the time? You're like, what the hell? Why is this? Yeah. Why is this happening? And then at some point you start going, wait a minute, quit asking why me and why not me?
Yeah.
Right? You look back and it's like it all unfolds perfectly.
It unfolds perfectly because I made the decision what I wanted to do. You know, some people call it, like you call out the universe, and the universe will respond to you. What they call that thing, that theory.
Law of attraction?
Yeah, the law of attraction. You call out the universe, mm-hmm. and the universe responds to you. This is what this is to me. This is what this means. You know, I made the decision what I was going to do, and the universe responded and gave me the information. This information in this book should not be coming from me.
Right.
There are better educated people who have seen this thing before, but, you know.
That's what I was wondering, because when I read through it, I'm like, this guy must have just gone through the biblical scripture left and right.
I wasn't like that.
That's crazy.
Even in prison, I can't remember reading a Bible in prison.
See, I just learned something because I thought you were reading like religious texts. I figured with however many years you did, you were just spending time on all topics.
No, I know the basics, you know, about the tree of knowledge, the fall of so-called fall of man. By the way, there's no such thing as fall of man. You know, just a heads up if you're planning on listening to this show. There's no such thing as fall of man. We're going to explain that to you in this show, and it's in the book. So
it took you 10 years, right, to put this book together? So when you got done, did you finally just have to say, it's been 10 years, I'm just going to wrap this thing up? Or did you feel like, okay, I've got everything in here that I need to put in here?
Oh, my problem was trying to end it because there is so much information. I was having problems with publishers. Publishers say, hey, this book is a nonfiction, should not be this big. You know, no nonfiction code. People have already told me that, too. It's a nonfiction. It shouldn't be this big. And they say, oh, God is so big.
Well, the publishers they'll yank stuff from the book and everything else.
That's what they wanted me to do. So I ended up, I got so confused where she ended up. I just said, man, I got to finish this. Because I was so burnt out then. I was so tired. It's 10 years. And these are new information to me. Reading about the atom, it just began when I started this book. I just happened to see the atom one day. I said, man. I was already like 4 or 5 years into the draft. In my draft, I already drafted a nice book already, and then I saw the atom. I'm like, there's something here. There's something's missing here. So then I had to redo the whole thing. So that's a whole new process from there, a new research of end up with this book. And so by then, I was all the information is new for me. The neuron new. There's theories in there, the triune brain theory, social hypothesis, all these theories are ones I'm using. They're all new to me. These are just things I came across while writing a book. I had no plan for them. They just popped up on me.
Well, I think what happens is when you have the ability to at some point tap into that infinite God intelligence, we all have the capability. But the problem is we believe that we're limited and that we don't have access. And so those things were coming to you. And then the other thing is you experienced kind of the same thing, I think, that I did, where it was like synchronicities or these perceived coincidences come up that lead you to this, yeah, and then this, and then this. And it just keeps on fractaling out into this information. That's why this particular show can go on forever, because of the infinite amount of knowledge that we can spider web out on. All right, so go ahead. So you ended up finishing the book.
But my problem is this communication. I don't know how to do social media, but the information is so important that the community needs to read this. You know, the world's in chaos, and the Christians are hoping for some kind of nuclear Armageddon to end civilization, to prove their theory, that their theory in Revelations. I don't remember finding Jesus saying any of that stuff. Like, we're supposed to go murder one another. None of that stuff.
The separation. It's basically this whole world has proved that it's living in a fear-based narrative. I'm not seeing a whole lot of love, but that's why we're doing this. And we've got we're coming up. This goes by quick, so let's go ahead and let's transition into, because we're going to start expanding out on the rest of the book. But let's do the core of it, which is talk a little bit about the atom and how this represents the God's design.
Okay, we're going to show a little video, and then we're going to start explaining a little bit about the atom.
All right, go ahead and talk to you. We've got it up in front here.
Okay, if you see the video that's running around, the atom has three particles. The atom, by the way, is this invisible thing that scientists claim that all ordinary matters in the universe are made from planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, and the plants, the air that we breathe, the water. Everything's made from material. This material is the atom. The atom is the magnificent of the three, I claim, is the atom's three particles. The atom has three of them. There's a negative electron, there's a positive proton, and then the neutron has no electrical charge, so it's neutral. The structure of the atom, if you're watching the video and you're looking at this image, is that in the center of the atom, it's called a nucleus, sits two particles. The positive proton and the neutron, the one with no electrical charge. But running around them, on top, above them, is a negative electron. So when I first saw this image, I'm like, my thinking was, is this a coincidence that this image includes this a negative and a positive? You know, by word association, negative we always associate with bad or evil. Positive is always good, or, you're a good person, positive person, that kind of stuff. And then there's the neutron. My thinking was, what if we can prove that the neutron is God's particle? This is God's seed in the atom. I didn't think God particle. I was thinking, if the neutron is God's seed in the atom. So that began the process of finding a biblical record whether God had mentioned this in his record. Because if he say he created heaven and earth, and scientists say everything in heaven and earth is made from this thing, my thinking was God had to be aware of the atom. If he say he created heaven and earth, he had to have been aware of it. No questions asked. If he didn't aware of it, then we got problems. So that means if the record is true, that means the atom is in the record. People will understand this. The scientists mainly will know how the impact of this, if this is discovered in the biblical record. I know most people don't come across in their daily lives about the atom, but it is time for us to learn this thing, teach the kids in school, about the atom. This thing is magical, and there's a reason for it. So my goal then was to look in the record, see if we can find anywhere in the record that may show that the neutron is God particle. Because if you look at the structure of this thing, if you associate negative with evil and there's good as positive, Then you're looking at the image of God. God said, this is his image. He was a God who knows good and evil.
Right, and you have in the neutron holding that, the strong force in between, that invisible force between the positive, if that's representing humankind, man, woman, whatever, that strong force holding it together. And then you have this electron, which is the negatively charged, or if you want to call it, label it, the evil. It's almost like it's just circling around, trying. It wants in, that opposites attract, right? So that opposites attract, correct me if I'm wrong, is really you have to have the good with the bad and vice versa in order that's how it's designed. That's what holds the structure together.
That's my argument. That's my claim. That's why we call it evil, but it's negative. There's a lot more deeper explanation. But discovering that, identifying the neutron as God's particle, you know, would change the whole argument, change everything. Everything that we know so far would change it. And that is in the record.
So, you know, something just came to mind, because you and I on the way up here, we had stopped in the parking lot. We were talking about a quote by Neil Donald Walsh. And this goes to the neutron, which the neutron, basically not being positive or negative, it's just a neutral, mm-hmm. right, unbiased. Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God, right? Great book, sold millions and millions of copies. I think it was Matt Lauer that was interviewing him and on the Today Show years ago, and said, well, hey, you know, almost a little condescendingly, like, well, if you've been talking to God, then can you leave us with a few words, or what would you leave the world? And I remember Neil Donald Walsh commenting on that, going, oh, I didn't know what to say. Like, are you great? Put me on the spot here. And he said, it just came to me, and he goes, yeah, I can do it in five words. You've got me all wrong, which is makes all the sense in the world when you think of it. We've designed with the dogma of all these religions, and we wonder why we continually be separated.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep going on that, on the, what you had on the atom.
Yeah, so the atom is fascinating in the sense that the magnificence doesn't just have three. These are just a few things. I also have to remind you guys, neither of us are experts in anything.
That's for sure.
Not in science nor the Bible. You know, we're seekers. No, we seek the information. We want to know, you know, what's our purpose in life? Why did God create us? Why is there evil in the world? Those are questions that, you know, that will come, that's addressed in the book, actually. And so we're just seekers. We look for the information. The atoms, the information about the atoms all over the internet. That's how makes it this book a lot more doable because of the internet, which, thank God, the internet, because the universities and all the colleges, they hold all the books and information to them, but the internet makes it possible to find this stuff. So the atom, you can look up on Google and learn about it, learn its history. It has no business being in the Bible, because when the Bible was written, it was dated like 5,000-6,000 years ago when Israel was carrying information around with them, verbally. Nobody knew about the atom. Einstein confirmed the atom in 1905, but I can prove you in this book with the evidence that God was aware of the atom. Anyways, the atom also is fascinating because its particles are also, it's fascinating. It has three particles, but its particles are made also from three, is associated with three, because the positive proton and the neutral neutron are also made from subatomic particles called the quarks. Three of them make up the positive proton, and three of them made up the neutron. So this is fascinating. For me, it's very fascinating. The negative electron is made up of six leptons. Three of them are not have no electrical charge, and three of them have. The negative electron, the electron has the biggest electrical charge. So that's why the atom is. That's why I believe God used to create the atom.
So we got the three, we got the six, and now I guess the big mystery is going to be the nine.
Yeah,
talked about. So we're getting, believe it or not, close on time here. So let's talk about next time. How do you want to lead into this? We did not get the chance to cover electron capture.
Right.
So let's start out with that on the next episode. Right. Because electron capture, where it actually, the electron every once in a while will fall into the nucleus, what happens is crazy.
Yeah.
It's almost like, well, all right, now we're going to convert that into, and then it's a whole new element.
Yeah,
meaning that man can absolutely reinvent himself into a new being, essentially.
It's amazing, that thing. You know, that's an amazing transformation of the atom when that, it's called electron capture. We'll talk about that next week. But it's the transformation that's not only spiritual, it's actually what, you know, is the meaning of what God in the Torah established about how you change your behavior by offering burnt sacrifices, that kind of stuff, you know. And the New Testament, where God says you can change your behavior, you can be remorseful, get baptized, and change yourself to a new person. That's what the atom does. That idea came from here, you know. So these are little things, they're coincidental, but they're circumstantial evidence that show that how God designed, you know, all these stories. It's about the design, and the design is about, it comes from, it's also implicated here in the design of the atom.
And I think probably a good place to make a point and wrap this up would be, you know, when you think about everything being made of the atom, at least in this particular dimension, then if God is the neutron, God is within every single person.
When you say, you know, everybody believes that God is everywhere, but there's no scientific proof.
Yeah.
Now we do, because we can prove to you that God is the neutron, and God left flat in a biblical record that the neutron is his seat in the atom. So that's one of the fascinating, because now you can literally say not only is God in you, but God is everywhere at the same time. God has omnipresence, you know, because he's carrying the atom.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Super interesting stuff. Well, so, let's go ahead and these casts going forward will start, and we will focus mainly on the magnificence of the three material, and man, it can get deep. So we'll try to simplify some of this stuff. Why don't you okay giving out your email address for any questions, commentary?
Yes, I think it's on the side over here.
We put it on the side over here. Okay. So all we ask is, we know that some of this stuff, I mean, it's kind of amazing how people will react when you even start talking about God. Sometimes it's kind of sad. If you've got an opinion, we're more than entitled to it. But we're here, once again, not for separation. Debate's fine. I would like to call it more of a discussion. And be open-minded, because if you're going to be closed-minded, if I'm going out on the road every day looking for red Teslas, that's all I'm going to see. Okay, so if you're going and looking for ways to pick apart what's being presented, that's fine if it's, you know, being presented on the other end as a positive, constructive criticism. But let's not waste our time with a lot of negativity. But you did a good job, man. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I want to cite some stuff that what you're going to learn from this radio show if you tune in every week. So the book has a lot of deals with a lot of questions. I had a lot of questions about the Bible and the record. You know, there's a lot of hypocritical stuff, things that they can't explain to you. And so off the top, I'm providing claims about the identities of the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, and the Garden of Eden. And it's rivers. No, the rivers are beautiful, man. God is beautiful. How this thing was done is just beautiful. How he left it in the record.
Well, we'll start digging into that. Why don't you, since we're coming up on time, why don't you lead us out in a little prayer, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Okay. All right. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you return next week, every Sunday at 3 o'clock Pacific time. We will be here, and it'll be fun. Come learn something different, you know. But thank you for listening in. So we're going to end this show with a short prayer. Our Father in Heaven, thank you for this beautiful show. Thank you for your presence here. We feel comfortable. We were worried and concerned, but we know we have our back. So I feel your spirit here with us. I can actually talk. But thank you, my Father in Heaven. You know, it's a task that it needs to be bringing out to the world. But thank you again for blessing us. Thank you for your spirit here, and I ask for your blessing for everyone listening in their families, the country, especially in the world. Also raise up the issue with Palestinians and going on over there on that side. And ask for your spirit to be with there. Be there. You're the only one who can fix this thing. So thank you again, my Father in heaven. I ask that you bless this day we're about to end and bless us on our way home. In the name of your Son, amen.
Amen. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. This is Jason in Timeout. We will see you on the next round. Remember who you are. When you serve others, you serve yourself.
Amen.
You're listening to The Magnificence of the Three with Jason and Timeout, only on LA Talk Radio.